Ladies and gentlemen, this is a special edition episode. This is a bonus pack for you. You're going to learn something very interesting today. First of all, I want to let you know, you're going to hear about a movie coming out that absolutely no one in the general public knows about. So stay tuned. This is going to be interesting for my friend Greg Justice. He's going to be reading from his book, Treadside Manor, which you can get on Amazon, about the notion that bridges, both literal and figuratively, are not made for burning, but for crossing. This is going to be fun. Guys, stay tuned. Show Me the Way, special edition bonus. Bridges are made for crossing, not burning. And is this, ladies and gentlemen, a particular subject of interest during this time in the global issues that are affecting the world? Welcome to Show Me the Way, a podcast presented by Spencer Fain, LLP, about business succession planning, the merger and acquisition experience, and successful exits. I am your host, Dave Sider. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a special edition. This is a first of its kind in the Show Me the Way podcast. We are asking Greg Justice to come back to the show and talk to us about one of his chapters that I thought was particularly scintillating and very impactful for me. And it deals with the issues bridges. Bridges, I will tell you, we can read it both literally and it's a metaphor. There are a couple of ways to look at it. But I think in this very difficult time, early in the year, and where we're looking for answers in life, I thought this was really inspiring. You guys may remember Greg Justice. He is the owner of AYC Fitness, but saying that he's just the owner of AYC Fitness is like saying I'm just an attorney. That just doesn't work. We transcend that. Only because that has been, at the end of the day, the way that we're wired and how we've appeared anyway, according to the people around us. So I have found over the years, Greg brings so much to the table, and I don't think I properly showcased him. I'm going to go back to Greg. And Greg, will you give us a little bit of your background for the first-time listeners going into your business, but also, when I say your business, your fitness business, but all the other businesses? What's going on? What are the exciting things that are happening to you?
Well, everything in my life I feel is exciting because I choose for them to be. It's just kind of a mindset. But I opened Kansas City's original personal fitness training center back in May of 1986 and have been in the fitness industry for more than 40 years. And it really serves as a launching pad for all of my other interests and businesses that I am part of, including Endless Rope, which is a fitness equipment company. It is the world's original scalable rope climbing machine. And then also a company called Scriptor Publishing Group, which we started in January of 2017 with my business partners, Kelly Watson and Todd Durkin. And that has led to so many amazing opportunities. We've published more than 300 books, including some of my own. And one is a book from my original mentor called Pride and Discipline, The Legacy of Jack LaLanne. And if you don't know who Jack LaLanne is, he is the godfather of fitness. He invented so many of the pieces of equipment that you see in every gym around the world. And something very exciting that came out of that project that I co-wrote with Jack's widow, Elaine LaLanne, is a movie about Jack's life. And the exciting thing about that, not is it just going to be a feature film, but Mark Wahlberg is going to play Jack LaLanne. And so it's a very exciting project to be part of. And yeah, just so many amazing things come from the extension of your passions. And, you know, my fitness business is certainly a passion. And it led to my publishing company and, you know, now to this amazing movie project.
So rumor has it that you're going to be playing the part of either Arnold Schwarzenegger or Lou Ferrigno. Is that correct? Well, I just ask you to admit or deny.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Nor deny. Okay. Yeah. Well, one of the experiences that you helped generate for yourself is you are, in your own right, an author. How many books have you written?
I have either authored or co-authored more than 30 books at this stage. And truth be told, Dave, I don't see any end in sight.
Wow.
Because I write about my passions, my interests, and I'm always trying to discover new things. So, I see many more books in my future.
How long does it take? I'm just curious for our listeners, how long does it take for you to write a book? Then I'm going to ask you a follow-up question.
Yeah. Sure. It depends on the subject matter. So an example, the Jack LaLanne book took us over 3 years because, we had basically 100 years of content to work through. Some other books I can put out in 4 to 6 months. So it'll range anywhere from, 4 months to 3 or 4 years, depending on the nature of the book, the subject of the book, and the amount of content that we're dealing with.
Let's talk about one of the books, or shall we say one of the chapters from one of the books. First of all, let's reference, what book are we referring to when we're going to be having this conversation?
Okay, so the book is my signature book. It's called Treadside Manner, and it is a play on a doctor's bedside manner. For trainers, doctors deal with their patients a lot of times on their bedside. And with trainers, we're talking to them. You're an example of that. You have been a client for over 35 years. Many times we've had conversations with you on the treadmill and me standing by your side.
Absolutely.
And so that is where I got the book title, Treadside Manner. And it's really one of my first books that I authored probably 15 or 20 years ago. And actually, we're going to do a revised edition because we have another 15 plus years of stories and anecdotes that we're going to add to the book.
So you're going to be like Taylor Swift, who came back with a updated edition from her Songs of 89 or something like that. I'm sorry, I'm not a Swiftie. I don't have all the facts here. I may be in error.
I can honestly say that I've never been compared to Taylor Swift, but okay, we'll go with it.
There's always something new. So you're going to be reading from a chapter. If you would pull up the chapter. What chapter is this and what is it entitled?
The title of the chapter is Bridges Are Made for Crossing, Not Burning. And it really is a story that started me in the world of entrepreneurship, because it's a story about getting fired from my dream job and really not knowing how to react initially or what I was going to do, because I was barely 20. I just turned 25 years old and was, like I said, in my dream job. And circumstances changed, and I'm going to read the story for you at some point here.
Let's get into it. I'd like to hear it.
Okay. Building strong, lasting professional relationships during your career is something that you should research, begin immediately, and continue throughout your career. A reputation for professionalism, honesty, and competence can be determined by your activities at just one job. In the early 1980s, I was managing a workout center when it was sold. As soon as the new owners came in, they completely cleaned house. They fired the entire management team, which included me. Instead of reacting negatively and telling them that they didn't know what they were doing or venting my anger, I remained calm, remained professional, and commanded the respect of the owners due to my reaction. Then, devastated, I went home to tell my wife of 6 months that I had been fired. This was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. Now, clearly, my professional situation and my communication with the owners should not and did not exhibit the same characteristics. Personal feelings should not impact your professional conduct with your employer, even if you're being terminated. Complete disassociation is, of course, impossible, but the greater the separation of the two, the more capable you will appear. Now, 2 days after the owner fired me, he called to offer my job back because many of the members in the gym complained that I was no longer there. Since I had already made plans to finish my master's degree out of state, I made him an offer. I said that I would come back to work there in 5 months after I completed my last semester of graduate work, upon the condition that he would allow me to start my new personal training business in his club. He thought about it for a minute and said, "Sure, I'll even be your first client." 5 months later, I came back, started my business at the same club that had fired me, and the rest is history. Instead of burning bridges, I turned it into the beginning of my new business from the very club that had just fired me 5 months earlier. Client requests for my assistance demonstrated my expertise in my field, as well as the level of customer satisfaction I was able to provide. Maintaining a positive relationship and effective communication with the owners under harsh conditions increased their belief in my credibility, reliability, and conscientiousness. Instead of demonstrating anger, abusing the new management, or bad-mouthing them to others, I was able to reinforce the perception of my value as an asset to their new business. Now, keep in mind that there are a lot more things that can come out of situations like these. If you have a bad attitude, criticize management, mention problems without attempting to find solutions, etc., your coworkers and employer will have plenty to say about you. If you're seen as someone who reduces the value of the business, team, or department, chances are that your reputation is going downhill fast. Being seen as untrustworthy, rude, and critical will cause your professional contacts to discuss your behavior both inside and outside of work, resulting in the loss of potential work and advancement.
Okay, I take a couple lessons away from this. Do you want to comment any more on the lessons, even though I think you wrapped it up? I'd like your insight. Because, you've seen this with people, right?
Yes.
Over the years.
Yes. Not only with people, but especially in my industry.
Mm.
A lot of times, people in the world of fitness seem to have, the guys have a high level of testosterone, especially when they're young, and they're aggressive, and some might call it roid rage or something to that effect. But I see it a lot of young trainers that react before thinking. And I've always tried to mentor young trainers to take a little bit of time before reacting to situations. And what they will find if they can take a deep breath and pause before the reaction begins, that they are much more likely to respond in a way that is much more professional. And that, again, as I mentioned toward the end of the chapter, it gives you the opportunity to advance your career rather than to stifle it.
You know, and to your point, there's a couple of takeaways, especially for people that are going through business succession planning and exit planning in particular. So I love the bridges analysis because I've seen some people leave the business being bought out, and sometimes there are bridges that are burned for a variety of reasons. You know, it may be because of the reorganization, somebody gets walked out. Invariably, somebody buys your business and they're going to look at the situation, determine who they need and who they don't need. It is rare that they keep everybody in place.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I've seen owners. They find themselves walking out the door. They got their money and they're no longer needed by the new owners. And then there is either a little bit of loneliness, envy. I don't know if they feel lost, but they'll look and they question how the business is running. And yes, every new buyer that comes in is probably going to run the business differently, maybe not as well, maybe better, but it'll be different. And it causes some heartache and frustration, especially with the closely held businesses that I've seen that I've represented, where they've given the equivalent of their firstborn child or their whole family, frankly, to the business. So it's a very difficult, difficult thing, but it's always important to remember these things, especially if you're in the process of maybe going from one business to the next, to try to solidify those relationships, because you never know what could come around and come back around in a beneficial way to you or for you.
Exactly. And, you know, it reminds me, Dave, of one of my favorite quotes of all time. It comes from Viktor Frankl, who was a Holocaust survivor. And it goes like this: between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. That's and I think brilliant. That's such a powerful, powerful quote.
And that's good for anybody going through the M&A business succession planning, business continuity planning process. That's really great. Great lesson. Thank you so much. Greg, you have 30 books. How can they find your books? Do they go in Greg Justice, Amazon? And where do you go?
Yeah, Greg Justice in the Amazon search will get you there. Or my website, which is gregjustice.com. And it will give you all the information about Greg, probably more information about Greg than you may ever want to know.
And when will we be seeing you walk the red carpet with Arnold and Mrs. LaLanne and all that crew?
Well, we sit here in January of 2024, and this is my prediction for it. I think we're on an 18 to 20 month time frame as we speak. So mid to late 2025 is what I'm hoping for.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Greg for his insight. I really thought this was going to be beneficial for everybody at the beginning of the year. It's a tough time. You may be going into transition for a variety of reasons. Maybe you're coming out of a business, changing jobs, looking at career advancement. So thanks, Greg. If you are in search of assistance, please go to davesider.com or spencerfain.com and schedule a consultation. Also, please, please, please make sure to subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave a comment for me on your favorite podcast platform, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this. Remember, while you're out there, be safe. Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is a special edition and is provided for educational purposes, but it does not constitute legal advice and is not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in this podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business. In determining the best course of action, business owners should consult with an attorney on their distinct circumstances.